When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day enjoying this this Thursday with us here in the nation. We're 1 hour down and four to go. We're having a blast, taking all the sports in. And we have some Cowboys content coming up here for you throughout the day. It's right now time for Zach Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day. Here's the Wooly Bully.
Well, let's stay with the Cowboys. And an interesting article from our buddy Todd Archer, ESPN, has written about Mike McCarthy. And right now, Cowboys averaging 19.7 points per game, 4.9 yards per play. They've converted 35.9% of their third down opportunities, and they've scored touchdowns on 41.7% of the red zone trips. You also have the quarterback guru that is Mike McCarthy, whose quarterbacks have combined for a 43.3 total QBR.
Oh.
Those are all the worst marks through nine games for a McCarthy-led offense during his head coaching career. Mm-hmm. The worst it has ever been. That tells you how bad this Cowboys offense is right now. You just look at a season ago through nine games. Cowboys averaging 29.9 points per game. Yep, there certainly were defensive touchdowns that helped that a little bit. They averaged 379.1 yards per game. That was fourth best in the league. They converted 20 of 39 red zone trips, and their third down percentage was much, much better. So just a year ago, through the same amount of time, they were one of the better offenses in football, and this year they're near the bottom, and it's historically bad for a Mike McCarthy-led offense. And I don't really see a ton of opportunity for improvement. I guess they're finally bailing on a running back by committee. They're going to give it to Rico Dowdle, but it seems like in very Cowboys fashion, it's a day late and a dollar short. Yes. When it comes to that decision. We were yelling for this 8 weeks ago.
We've reached the point now where the win is actually the loss. And so I'd actually love to see a little bit more Zeke. Let's get a little bit more Dalvin Cook going. Let's see a little bit more Deuce Vaughn. This is the point in the season now where I actually want you to pull the reins back a little bit on Rico. Son of a gun, dude.
It's amazing how bad this thing's gotten offensively for this football team. And it's something that I don't know that's going to be fixed.
We don't know what the Mingo impact could be.
That's true. And he's going to play this week.
That could set it.
He's going to make his debut.
Off.
Yeah, that's going to be the adjustment for this week. You know, Mike Zimmer, as we talked about, tried to do some things differently last week against Philadelphia. And we, you know, gave him a tip of the cap for trying, you know, the blitz stuff, the double A gap blitz stuff where they line their, you know, linebackers up in that, you know, that A gap there right on the other side of the center and, you know, attack the middle of the pocket that we did. They affected Philadelphia. That's, you know, you got pressure, you got sacks. That was something you really looked at and you're like, oh, wow, this is going to make a difference today. And, you know, we haven't seen that at all from the offense. We haven't seen anything that leads us to believe that they're going to do anything different offensively. And I think that's the problem. With I have right now, you got one coach that's trying to create opportunity, and the other coach is just kind of stuck in his ways. And this is what we do. And
hey, it's worked for 30 years.
Yeah, it's a very quarterback friendly offense. That's what we hear. But you know, it's just not resulting in what they need. They're this weekend. It's going to be the same thing when you're gonna have a bunch of three and outs, and you're gonna put your defense in harm's way, and you know, be stubborn about it.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling, which is why we're having the coaching conversation, although it might be disrespectful to Mike, but I think that the writing's on the wall here. They're going to be having a coaching search.
What's disrespectful is that he won't change.
Yeah,
that's disrespectful. Evident.
But, you know, hey, we talked about that. Know. Coaches are stubborn.
No, I don't know how you can, you know, if you, you know, he, you know, it's a different theme. It's either penalties or it's turnovers. It's never that we're not good enough on offense. You know, we're not doing enough to get our receivers right. Open. We're not doing enough to get the quarterback some clean throws. It's not, you know, we're not doing a good enough job about, you know, trying to run the football and maybe attack some spots that these opponents are pretty, pretty poor at. You know, it's not about any of that. It's about, 10 minus 10, the turnovers makes me sick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't win games turning the ball over 5 times.
Thanks, coach. You know, thanks for the low-hanging fruit there. Yeah.
Definitely not a scheme issue, coach.
We appreciate that. Well, one of the most successful coaches in college football right now is Dan Lanning, and I was talking about him a few weeks ago. Dan might just be one of these guys that is just built for college success, and we've seen Matt Rhule, who was really good in college, fail in the NFL. Urban Meyer. Maybe Dan Lanning goes ahead and does a similar thing if he even wants to go to the NFL, but one thing perked me up a little bit, and I said, oh my gosh, if Jerry were to hear this, maybe they would interview Dan Lanning if he was just interested for the job. This is Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. He said that Dan's generating a lot of NFL interest right now. And one of the quotes from a league executive is, he's got some Dan Campbell to him.
Oh, it's the year of the Dan, I'm telling you. From Campbell to Lanning to Quinn.
I'm going to go on record here and say this. Jerry Jones and Phil Knight are best friends.
Okay.
I don't think Jerry Jones would take Dan Lanning from him.
Oh, he wouldn't want to poach his buddy's coach?
I don't think he would.
Ugh, really?
That's just, I'm saying this with, and sometimes it's dangerous to connect the dots, but I just don't think that Jerry Jones, he has that much respect for Phil Knight, roughly same age. He wants to see Phil Knight win a national championship too. You know, Nike's been a great partner of his. You know, I cannot see Jerry Jones poaching Dan Lanning from Oregon and putting Oregon in a bad spot.
That's an interesting caveat I was not familiar with. That kind of takes the wind out of my sails. How about you, Walchuk?
Yeah.
Brought us bringing all the facts
Brian.
Truth to the table.
I mean, that does annoy me. It's like you should be putting yourself first here. Screw.
Okay. Well, here's one thing to think about. Think about if you're thinking about a college coach. Think about Kirby Smart.
Yeah, Kirby would make some sense.
Okay, Kirby Smart would make a lot of sense because he's a defensive-minded coach. Mm-hmm. He did have Todd Monken, who is now with the
Ravens.
He understands that part of the game.
Yep.
He recruits his ass off. He knows what a really good... I think he's got some Jimmy Johnson to him.
Okay.
When you start to talk about Jimmy Johnson, defensive coach,
yeah,
in the knowing college personnel, running a juggernaut program down there like he did with Miami.
Yeah.
That guy, Georgia, might be this era's Jimmy Johnson. Think about that.
Okay. Wow. I'd be excited about the possibility
of
Kirby.
You're on fire right now. The last 2 minutes of Broadus has been top tier.
It's a jerk chicken.
Really? Yeah.
Hey, that jerk chicken. Yeah. The smell of it, outstanding. Yeah. I'm a little bit nervous about what it might do to the tummy.
I'm feeling it in my belly right now.
Are you? Yep. Very sensitive right now as the tum-tum.
Absolutely delicious, though.
Scouting Combine, big news for you here. Brian's going to stay in Indy through 2026. I don't know why they're even thinking about moving this. It doesn't need to be moved.
Yeah, I wish everybody got to go. And you can now. You can go and visit the Scouting Combine. They'll let you sit in the stands and watch.
Is that like a free entry kind of ticket?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. How can we campaign to go this year? Yeah. We need to get out there. If you're going to have a top 10 pick for the Cowboys, we need to try and get there.
I think that morning show is working on it right now.
We'll switch with the morning show.
Good for them.
You guys want to do afternoons? We'll do mornings.
But it's good it's staying in Indy just
for that week.
Just because of all the hotels. It's a walking city. All the restaurants are right there. All the hotels are there. The medical facilities are there. I couldn't imagine a better place than it to be. It's cold. It's really cold there. But other than that, everything about it is perfect.
Yeah, but you buried the lead there a little bit, didn't you? Isn't it all about the shrimp cocktails?
St. Elmo's?
My man Jeff Lurie almost died. Oof. We almost lost the owner.
I'd love to dabble.
The Eagles.
Allergic to shellfish?
No, I forgot to tell him how much horseradish. He took a big bite of that thing, and got completely red and was like kind of choking a little bit.
A little too much there.
And I was like, oh my God, I just killed the owner of the Philadelphia
Eagles. It's like
Eagles.
The Dumb and Dumber scene.
A lot of horse.
My pills.
It's excellent. The shrimp cocktail there is excellent.
Oh, I believe it. It's really legendary. It absolutely is. Lamar Jackson having another MVP-esque season. 1-3 record, though, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they play this week for AFC North supremacy. Lamar does not have any answer for why he's had such a struggle against Pittsburgh. They've been dominant against the rest of the AFC North, 17-5, but he's just 1-3 against the Steelers in his career.
That's crazy that he's only played them 4 times.
Injuries.
That is crazy.
Isn't it?
He's only got a 1-3. He's been in the league for 5-6 years now. They're in his division. He's only played them 4 times.
Getting ball sacked over there, Mary?
No, it's the ESPN story. Wow. Jameson Hensley. ESPN staff.
ESPN
writer.
Gets ball sacked sometimes too.
That seems like a low number. It seems very low.
I was wondering if
but
it was,
I bet you're right. I'm not gonna. I mean, I'm yeah.
1-3 in his last 4.
He's got more interceptions than touchdown passes in those games with 7 interceptions, 4 touchdown passes.
He's missed 8 of 12 potential matchups. That's unfortunate.
That is crazy.
I think the division familiarity is
good
huge.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's good that you double-checked, though, because you never know these days.
It did sound kind of weird.
I thought it was fishy, too, and that's why I brought the story up. I'm like, 1-3 against the Steelers, what the hell? Yeah. But Lamar's like, look, I don't even have anything that I can point to defensively. They've just been really, really good.
Now, it's like Denver having Kansas City's number.
Yeah, they just have it. And maybe this is, if you're looking for a survivor pick, maybe you go with the trend here. Do you go with the Steelers?
Ooh. Is it in Pittsburgh?
I believe so. I think this game is in Pittsburgh. I will double check this. I know tonight we got Commanders and Eagles, and I am very close to going Commanders on record.
Okay, well,
I am considering taking Commandos tonight. Some of that might be rooting interest because I just hate the Eagles so damn much, but I am considering taking the Commanders tonight.
I did see that.
It is in Pittsburgh.
The Commanders.
You have not picked the Commanders,
by the way. Thank you. I'm considering, Brian. Don't put me in yet.
I did. I locked you in.
Don't lock me in. Considering.
Hey, trust your Thursday Night Football gut.
Yeah.
You haven't been wrong yet.
You haven't been wrong. Even when you don't actually make the bet.
You have not been
wrong.
You were
still right, and if you would have made the bet, you would have nailed
it. Seriously, we can make Bennett tuition money off of you the way your Thursday night.
Now, here's the deal.
Yeah,
the Commanders,
you should go for it, Walchuk.
I just do this, and then I know.
There's
I know what you think.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You'll have to do the payoff, but we'll cheer you on.
We got a backup kicker situation for the Commanders tonight, though, so consider that. Because apparently,
no trust way.
No, well, Austin Siebert.
Yeah, Austin.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a
Siebert
guy.
Oh, he's out.
And it's Zane Gonzalez that's now stepping in. So
well,
I don't know how
Zane,
much.
Zane kicked for the Cardinals for a little bit. It wasn't very good.
That's why he's not kicking for him anymore.
He's kicked at times in the league. It's not like we're pulling, somebody else out that's never kicked the ball before.
By the way, tonight you could not participate in this game.
Taking both guys?
You've taken both teams? Dawson, cool. You cannot participate in this game tonight.
That's a free country. Thank
Wolchuk,
you very much.
Yes, you can only take the Commanders.
Okay.
And I could not participate in this game tonight.
All right.
If that does anything for anybody.
Our Tolo Eagles fan texted in and said, Eagles are going to win well tonight. That's Bailey the Bird texting in. So, hey, Bailey.
Good luck, Bailey.
I'd like to give Bailey the Bird right now.
You're actually making me want to take the Commandos even more right now, Bailey. But we'll see.
Is Bailey listening in Pennsylvania, or does Bailey listen in Texas?
Let us know. It is a 945 area code.
Okay.
So maybe that is Pennsylvania. I don't know that.
Okay.
Patrick Queen ready for a matchup against his former team in the Ravens because, he went over in free agency to Pittsburgh, said he wasn't wanted back there in Baltimore. I didn't get the offer back, and it is definitely kind of upsetting because there for 4 years and the bond that you grow with your teammates and stuff, the first few months, you definitely go through those feelings. So he's bitter. You've got a revenge game. Everything's kind of looking like maybe it's Pittsburgh that you need to take in this matchup, but I'm not going to count out Lamar to get his second victory against the Steelers. All right, let's get to soft teams. All right, earlier in the season, you had a head coach, Gerard Mayo, in New England, calling out his own team for being soft. Now we continue with a current Pittsburgh Steeler, Deshaun Elliott, who was on with rival Marlon Humphrey, former teammate in Baltimore, on his podcast, Punchline Podcast is what it's called. He spent time in Miami, too, and does he think they were soft?
I can't wait to see Marlon again, because I know he cannot wait to talk mess to the sideline when he makes a play. So this will be fun. This will be very fun. I haven't been able to play against Baltimore the way I wanted to, because last year I played up for a team that was soft as oh my God, I can't put that on there. That was pretty soft. The guys on the team, but there were some guys who were tough, but like for the majority of the team, there was not mentally tough individuals. So to be on a team with the full team of mentally tough guys going against another mentally tough team and AFC North ball, you know, it's gonna be fun, man. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that was a pretty blunt response there about that Dolphins team he was on a year ago. Mike McDaniel did hear this. He said, I just worry about this year's team. He said it on a podcast. Cool podcast. Said Mike McDaniel. He's not overly worried about it. But I don't know. Like, are the Finns, should we consider them soft?
I mean, that was a game where they lost 56-19. And the Dolphins, even last year, they were much like the Cowboys. It was an 11-5 record. They beat up a bunch of bad teams for the most part. And when they went toe-to-toe with a legit playoff team, they couldn't handle, especially a physical team like Baltimore. And, I mean, Elliott, he's a physical player. He goes from Miami to then Pittsburgh, which is like, that's the home for physicality. It's a night and day. I'm sure it was an eye-opening experience for him.
Yeah, that defense, I mean, they kept him in the game, helped them win it against the Rams, but maybe that is something to look at there with Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins. Then Aaron Rodgers at 3-7.
The colors just promote softness.
They do? The teal?
It's hard to be tough when you're wearing a uniform.
It's
like that.
I mean, Dolphins aren't soft.
That's
Dolphins
aqua more than it's teal, right?
Is it aqua? Teal's Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
I flip them all the time. Yeah. Aqua's the Miami color. Yeah. It is. It is aqua.
Like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, they have like a...
They do have a toughness about them.
A physicality they just do. In their uniforms.
They do. You just... Yeah, you put the uniform on next to you. You know, I'm just a more physical individual.
You are. You level up.
But you put the aqua on.
Miami look like they're on vacation.
Yeah.
Like this whole squad just showed up on vacation, got off the bus.
Like it's an all-star pro ball kind of.
They're just chilling out, man. Yeah. Signing autographs and everything.
Our minds at the beach.
Lucius, when they were
Hawaii.
When they were all white, do they look even more like they're on vacation?
Yeah, I like the all white better. I don't like the all white. But yeah, he's right, man. You got the Dolphin and you got them little silly colors.
The Dolphin does not.
The Dolphins
not,
don't
not
help
tough.
You.
Tough to be intimidating.
He's not growling anything. He's not intimidating. He's smiling. It's like Flipper.
I will see this. The Dolphin does wear the football helmet, which I think is a good deal, right?
Yeah, they need to put some muscles on the Dolphin, make him look a little bit more intimidating, like a football Dolphin.
Yeah, a buff Dolphin.
Not a real life teeth. Dolphin fail.
A Dolphin on PEDs.
Flipper. What are we doing?
Flipper. Yeah, with maybe
it's
some fangs.
It's a cartoon character.
I remember Flipper.
Yeah.
Flipper,
than lightning.
Yeah, Flipper would like tell him, like, they'd like, what? Flipper, oh. Yeah. Sub trapped at the bottom of the sea, like Flipper be talking to
I don't
him.
Think
yeah.
the Sharks mess with the Dolphins, though. I think the Dolphins do.
Yeah. But there's no Sharks in the NFL, though.
Should they well, the Miami
Sharks. Shout out
Sharks.
To any given Sunday, baby.
Fight fly with your fingernails. Maybe they missed an opportunity there. This was Aaron Rodgers when it came to playing again next year with the New York Jets. You tell me if you think he's going for one more ride.
You've talked about wanting to play beyond this year before. Has the way this season gone for you or as a team changed that thought at all?
Not really. Not for the negative, no. Not really.
So you still want to play in 2025?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to get another $45 million. Yeah.
I think I want to play next year.
Not very well.
I hope the Jets just go ahead and say thank you, but no thank you. We've made a terrible mistake here. We made you the general manager. You can go on your way, sir. Good day. Good day, sir.
Thank you, Wolchuk. A very strong NFL news today here for you on a Thursday afternoon on The Fan. Are you getting 2016 vibes with a college star saying he wants to come to the Cowboys? That's next year.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network.
Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
On the Fan.
In the gun, Prescott, snap back, handoff, Elliott driving, pushing, touchdown! Ezekiel Elliott, head for the kettle. No, fakes the kettle. Says, I'm not getting the fine. I'm just taking the touchdown.
Let's go. That's the last time the Cowboys and Texans met. Cowboys replay brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. It's time now for some Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets gone viral about America's team from America's team. We start with the Twitter account of one John Machota. Post a link to his article today. Open the roof Monday night and top college running back wants to play in Dallas. And that one, obviously, we're going to get to quite a bit throughout the build-up to this draft. We'll start with Coach McCarthy on ask about the roof being open. He says, I think, he says, if you think it will help us win, I'm all for it. I don't think there's any impact on winning or losing. It's going to be 65 degrees, Brian. There's no reason to open up this roof. I got to tell you, under 70 degrees now, I get chilly. Walking through the parking garage last night, I was like, boy, it's starting to get down there, isn't it? This is too much, you know, for an open roof. You have maybe a 2 or 3 week window where it's not too hot or too cold. That time has passed.
I think it's like a perfect night for football, right? I mean, that would be perfect.
I'm thinking more like 74 and up, 74 to 84.
I'm surprised Mike.
Think somebody's soft over there.
Mike didn't give him the answer that... Mike didn't give him the answer that Jerry gave me that time. I asked about opening the roof, getting a little heat for the Detroit Lions, you know? Remember he said,
we got other stuff to worry about.
Yeah, bigger problems than that.
We have fan comfort. They might leave.
Jerry wasn't lying, was he?
They might leave if it's a few too many degrees hot or cold. Now, if you missed it last night in the show, Woolchuck, it broke. Genty wants to play for these Cowboys.
Yeah.
Machota wrote that it has 2016 vibes for him when months before they took Zeke, Elliott came out and said he wanted to play for the Cowboys. Now, we know Brian Broaddus watched the film, and he put Ashton Genty ahead of Bijan Robinson, who he said was one of the best running backs he'd ever scouted. Mm-hmm. Have you, by chance, seen Ashton Genty on tape yet?
I did. I watched him last night.
Think he's better than Bijan?
I think Bijan has better long speed than what Genty had. I think Bijan could score anywhere on the field. I think Genty might get fetched. But there are aspects to where I think that'd be hard to push back on. I don't say this. You guys know my feelings. I got to be careful when I say this, okay? You know how I feel about Emmett.
Oh, geez.
He's got some Emmett to his game. The way that players fall off of him. When it comes to his vision, the contact balance, the pass protection's really good with him. Like, he is a full 3 down back. And that dude went into Eugene, Oregon, and by himself almost knocked off what is the number one team in the country in the Oregon Ducks. I watched 3 games of him. I saw one time the first guy ever brought him to the ground. And he's doing this with an offensive line.
He never gets tackled?
That is average.
Like 20 carries, 20 touchdowns?
First defender taking him to the ground.
The first defender.
He's always making the first guy miss. He's always falling forward. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. There's really very few flaws to his game. If I had to say one thing, maybe it is that he doesn't have elite long speed. He's a really, really good player. He's going to be a difference maker. How high do they end up picking? I think that will have a lot to do with what I really consider Ashton Genty there. I'd probably go edge rusher. I think there's several that are going to be talked about in the conversation. Haven't quite gotten to all the tackles yet. But Genty is a player that is going... I honestly... I don't think I would hate it. Like, the dude's awesome. He really, really is. And I think, yeah, it doesn't matter. The Cowboys' offensive line, I don't think is terrible. I think that it's creating holes to where Rico's having success. I think Genty would come in here and take him to another level. If you've got a top 10 running back immediately entering the NFL, and you've got him on his rookie deal for 4 or 5 years, which is where the running back, those are the prime years. You don't give him a second contract, but I don't think we're going to be complaining about the pick if you look back and it's like, damn, this dude's been in a top 5 to 10 running back in football. Like, Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs are the 17th and 18th highest paid running backs in the league right now. Bijan's at 8 overall is making $5.5 million a season. Like, we're seeing running backs getting signed for $8 million. Like, I think you could make an argument that you're still getting value there. But in the top 10, I understand it. You're looking for a player that you're going to get a second contract with. You're not with a running back. So if you want to go edge rusher, there's going to be names to consider. But just evaluating the player, it's hard to not like what you see there. He's really, really good.
Do you guys think he'll go top 15? Like, is there any way he gets through the first round?
He's not getting through the first round. He's going to be a first-round pick. Yeah. Does he go top 10? I don't know. I think he's probably going to go in the top 15.
I would say top 15, yeah.
Be awesome if you did have, you know, the first or second pick, if it was possible, or maybe there's another runner that you guys are going to watch, you know, without having to give up your first round pick.
Oh, because I'm sure there will be.
With edge rushers that you're going to need, you know, once you get into the second round with those guys, the hit likelihood gets so low. I want to take one of those early.
The argument that I would make, if, and we feel like that the Cowboy offensive line will stay the same with the exception of the right guard. We write about that. Yeah. Is that how we look at this?
Yeah. I would say probably. I'm guessing they're just going to feel good with Steele at right tackle and keep plugging away with Guyton at left.
I would stand up in a meeting and say this guy would make our offensive line better if we're going to play with that line. He will make our line better.
He absolutely would.
Because of his ability to make people miss. You know, that's where I get it. Nobody wants to take him in the top five. I totally understand that. You know, I'm talent poor in a lot of areas, and I'm just kind of trying to figure out, just let me every round take somebody that can help me be a better football team, whether I take him in the first round or the fifth round. Just they need players. And this kid, if you just, regardless of position, is one of the best players in the country. He is one of the best players in the country.
And it might give you something you can really hang your hat on offensively.
I don't think they'll take him.
We go to Brandon Laurie. Over the past 2 weeks, the Cowboys are averaging 5.2 yards per carry, third best in the NFL. Yeah. Now, maybe not against the best of defenses. And, you know, a part of that, getting Rico the ball is having an impact. But hopefully, you know, I wanted to ask you, Brian, you know, maybe this offensive line is getting something together. Is there any correlation with Tyler Guyton being out, or some causation, rather?
Well, if you trust Pro Football Focus, they'll tell you that Awesome Richards playing tackle last week was a much better pass blocker by significant amount as opposed to run blocking. They're still bad at point of attack blocking tight end. They're still bad. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the back. I think his ability to find what creases they have. I think you're getting better combination blocks. I know with the left guard and the center, that part of it looks like to me it's kind of coming together for you a little bit. You still struggle a little bit at right guard, but I would say that they're.
Do you think Richards is better than Guyton in the run game?
No, I don't. I don't think they're either one of them are very good right now. Hmm. So I mean, but like I say, Pro Football Focus gave Guyton a higher. Gave Richards a higher grade as a pass protector than they did a run blocker. Hmm. So I would concur to that, but I think it's more about the back than it is about really what the offensive line's doing.
Let's go back to a coaching candidate angle. Cowboys fans get a glimpse of another potential Mike McCarthy replacement here in Week 11. Last time they were able to do this, I believe, was Week 6 against Detroit. And they have some background here on Bobby Slowick. He's not only an offensive savant, up to date on all the tips and tricks that drive defenses wild, but he's also someone with a fair degree of defensive coaching experience as well. Didn't know that about Slowick.
Yeah.
Gives him more of a well-rounded resume. Unlike most head coaches, Slowik is a coach who adds considerable value with scheme on one side of the ball and also has work experience on the other. As if that wasn't enough, Slowik worked for 3 years at Pro Football Focus, understanding analytics in a way very few NFL coaches can. Now, does that make you more skeptical about his ability to coach, Brian? That's probably not a positive for you, is it?
No, I'm okay with Pro Football Focus. I pay for their service. I'm interested in the numbers. I think there's certain points you can gain from being a part of that. I'm interested to see. I just want to know their staff. You know, I want to know, as a young guy, does he have guys like-minded like himself? Does he have guys that are maybe smarter than him that we don't know about? That's what I want to. I'm not interested in you hiring your friends. I'm not interested in, you know, you hiring guys that are washed up or gals that are washed up, I guess. I mean, we do both now. But I just feel like, to me, that tell me at 37 years old who your coaching staff's going to be. And it's going to be hard for him to be a first-time head coach and then have to deal with if the staff's not good.
That's an interesting question. You know, I think as well, when it comes to the kinds of plays that he would run differently, and it's, you know, the play action and the motion at the snap and various post-snap options, you know, is that something Dak wants? We've had so many different offensive minds here over a decade with Dak Prescott, and so many of them come back to a very similar route tree. You know, and if you've had several iterations but never gone very far down this path, it would make me believe that either Dak doesn't want it or the coaches don't believe that he can run it that well. You know, if that's the case, you know, then you're dealing with a whole nother ball of wax and another very static, like Peyton Manning. That's how he wanted it. Lots of quarterbacks do, you know, yeah. And it's a big change and maybe something that's uncomfortable with to go into this optimized way. And they're good enough at it. And if you give them great protection and great weapons, they can have top five scoring. It's just not as good as it possibly could be. And it's not going to give you as high of a probability of beating the best defenses in the NFL.
If Dak's skills are diminishing like we think they are, then he needs a different offensive coordinator that can get receivers open for him. Then if he's going to stand there and throw in the pocket and he can't move around and he can't do the waggles and the boots and stuff.
Chief had a great point in the first hour about that, like Ben Johnson working with Goff now.
If you're going to play in the pocket, then you better have an offensive coordinator that's going to move guys around for you in order for you to make throws.
I just got the injury report for the day. Micah, DeMarvian, Tyler Guyton, all full participants today. Chuma Adoga was limited. Looks like Tyler Smith was limited as well. Lipke and Martin, DNP. Jordan Lewis, DNP. Okay, Nick Vigil, DNP as well, as they continue their preparation for the Houston Texans on Monday night. When we come back, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, what's in store?
Yeah, you got your hands full with this Houston's defense, and we'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, the king of the Krusty's, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. And thank you to Reliant as well. You think when the schedule makers put the Thursday night schedule together that they thought this Eagles-Commanders game was going to be a lot on the line on a Thursday night?
No, I don't think there was any way that they thought it'd be this good. I think they were probably hopeful.
They caught a break, didn't they?
Yeah, like it's two big markets, two division rivals.
So these you do for the Thursday night games, right? Two division games.
You cross your fingers and you hope.
Yeah. Like they put the Giants and the Cowboys on early, you know, before the Giants and Cowboys went south.
But yeah.
This is gonna be a pretty popular game tonight.
This is huge right here. Yeah. This could do 20 million. Easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll tilt the odds I saw if the Eagles win tonight, it drops the Commanders' chances of winning the division, I think, to 18%.
Wow.
It's a massive change depending on who wins this one.
Do you think that the team that wins tonight wins the division?
I think you could make an argument for that, absolutely. And they do play one more time, so you got a chance to maybe steal that one back. But
yeah, I think if Philly wins this, they're going to be starting to make quite a case. I think
that's six in a row then, wouldn't
probably
it
in
be?
The driver's seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like
that. I don't know if they beat a quality team yet. I guess No, I think there's plenty of football to be played, and most likely the healthiest team, you know, as we get into the last 6 weeks of the season or
can
so.
Dallas, the Giants are the only divisional team that Dallas could beat left, right? I mean, they're not going to go to Philadelphia, and they got the Commanders twice, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go to Philly and win. And the Commanders, with Jaden Daniels, the dual threat aspect of it, I just don't see how they're going to be able to handle that.
I think the Cowboys could be a lot more credible as a competitor than they are right now. Right now, they look like they're as bad as the Panthers. Okay, I think they can eke into maybe that middle third.
Yeah.
Get your edges back, get Kendricks healthy, and then run the ball.
Yeah,
you can do this.
I saw.
You don't have to be horrible.
I saw Nealon on the field today, working with Britt Brown.
That's great news.
We were over there. I was walking to doing the Cowboy break, and he was on the field, and then him and actually Cooks, Brandon Cooks was on the field as well. So working with Britt Brown. So hopefully those two guys will come back, and I'd like to see for sure Nealon play a little bit. You know,
get that rookie out there. He had some good moments.
Did some good things. All right. Yesterday, I kind of gave you a little hope about the Texans' offense. Well, I'm about to be the wet blanket guy in this Texans' defense.
Oh, go ahead, Brian. Wet blanket it up.
Yeah.
You know you love to do that.
They are going to present a lot of problems for you. And where they present problems for I, by the way, I think, boy, maybe you guys will correct me here real quickly, I'm sure. I think it's the best defense they're going to play right now.
Houston's?
Yeah. I think this is the best one. And I'm saying that from the reason of there's a lot of things that they do that will give Dallas absolute fits.
You think of D'Amico Ryan's coach of the year?
Tell you what, 6-4, they had a bad loss on a Thursday night loss against the Jets, right? Is that when you started, Wolchuk? You're kind of like, I took the Texans.
Because Vegas and the Jets were favored. Yeah. And I was thinking, something's up here. Yeah. So I stayed out of that one. That was the first one that I did not pick.
Yeah,
Houston's given up a lot of touchdowns, haven't they?
Yeah, but this is the problem, because when you're playing the Cowboys, teams can take advantage of what you're talking about, but this team can't, because what'll happen is this Houston Texans defense they like to move their front. So when we move the front, that's one of the problems where inside the gap replacement or the twist stunts, things like that happen. They've got two natural pass rushers in Will Anderson and then with Hunter, and they both flip-flop sides. So they're going to hunt a matchup for you, especially Danielle Hunter. He's going to hunt a matchup.
I mean, he's generated, I saw this from Brandon Laurie, 62 pressures this season, which would be the most through the first 10 weeks of a season in the past 7 seasons.
Oh,
so like the amount of pressures that Danielle Hunter has racked up to this point is just through the roof. And when you talk about the best defense, I mean, just looking at defensive DVOA, they are second in the league. Yeah. Minnesota's 1 and Houston's 2. Yeah. So you're right there.
Yeah, this is one of those teams when only, when you're watching the tape, you're kind of like going, gosh, dang, because of the movement, the players, their secondary. I think their secondary is outstanding. When you start to talk about Derek Stingley, and then they also, this rookie, Kalen Bullock, the rookie.
Oh, the USC kid.
From USC. Remember him, Wolchuk, because we were watching him. He, at USC, looked like a corner.
I thought he was a corner. Playing, so big.
He was so tall, long, and he was a really good-looking player, ball hawk.
Big time.
And he ball hawks for this crew here.
So are they still, what are they doing with Jalen Petrie?
Playing him as a nickel.
Nickel, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the problem. This is the problem that Dallas will have in this game, is they play nickel like 88% of the time. That's all they do. So they're going to get, they got three legitimate corners that they play with Stingley and then Lassiter.
That's also Georgia corner.
Yeah, and then Petrie. So they shut you down. They shut you down with their corners, and then they've got that safety that plays so well, and then they've got a pass rush that's pretty potent to deal with. And again, these are all things that Dallas kind of has problems with. I mean, I don't see how Dallas is going to separate. This has got to me and I've said this before, it's got a little Detroit vibe to me. That all of a sudden, you know, Brian Branch, guys like that, the corners, you know, there were times where we felt like that maybe Detroit were going to give up some play. Detroit completely shut you down. So did Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Philadelphia completely shut you down. And I think these corners right here are better than the ones that are playing in Philadelphia. So I don't know how you're going to throw the football in this game. Jeez. And if it turns into, because these guys, if the Cowboys are going to have any chance of moving the ball, it's going to have to come on first or second down. If they get into a situation, the Texans want to get you in a passing situation because they are one of their big blitz down is third down. And they're one of the best teams in the league when it comes to bringing, you watch them play and they bring the blitz. When they bring five or more rushers, they're over 50% of getting a pressure on you.
Boy, it sounds like a really good week to commit to the run game, Brian.
Well, that's kind of where I think Dallas, but it, to me, this is where Dallas, I said it earlier, this Dallas has got to win on first and second down.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. If we look up and it's third and seven or third and eight or third and nine all day, and this is, you know, with the running game stuff.
It's got to be good.
It's got
to
be good.
If it's not working in the first half, you got to try to get your chunk plays.
It's got
to
be good because if it's not good, they're going to get you in the third down and they're going to blitz you is what they're going to do. And that's a problem. And the thing about it is you think, well, how are they so good? How do they do this? They don't disguise any of their coverages. They don't even disguise their blitzes.
Wow.
They're one of these teams when you watch them play that they line up and they rush and they blitz and then you're in trouble.
It's obvious. We're either playing man or cover three. This is what we're doing.
It's just confidence. Like, we're better than you.
Exactly.
It's so obvious that like, and you're thinking like, oh, they're disguising and they're making this and doing that, you know. No.
It's kind of like, I mean, D'Amico Ryan's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, they were just, hey, we rush four and we play cover three, but our players are just better than you. We don't have to trick it up all that much.
No, they really, really don't.
I mean, what they did to the Lions offense the other night in that first half was detrimental. And that's the best offense in football. They got three turnovers, a handful of sacks. They only give up a touchdown and like maybe 100 yards in the first half. Like, that was some flying around football right there.
They are really, really good when it comes to. Now, what's interesting about this team, and this is where Dallas has got to, I talked about first down, but they also play at depth and they play with cushion on the outside. For as good as their corners, it's not this just lock down, get up on you, play press coverage and dog you all over the field.
Sorry, it's not more cushion for the pushing.
Not more cushion for the pushing. They do play for some depth. And because I'm like, man, these guys are playing off, and they're one of the top teams in the league when it comes to giving you cushion on the outside for routes. Now, when they do that though, they're driving on balls. They want you to throw underneath, and then they're going to drive on it. It's because they got the linebackers and. They've got the skill guys to be able to handle that, but they're also gambling on it that hey, we're gonna get rushers home, and if we get you in a long yardage situation, we're gonna blitz you, and we're gonna be able to sack you that way. And I think it's gonna be really, really difficult for Dallas if they don't. Mm-hmm. It's not about winning off the line because they'll let you win off the line, but once those corners engage with the receivers. Can you find a way to maintain that separation? A lot of teams haven't been able to do that. So this is the problem for the Cowboys today, is that they're going to probably have a really good game plan defensively to handle Houston's offense. Defensively, like Dawson says, you need to find a way to run the ball. But if running the ball turns into a first down run, it ends up a no gain, a negative play, a gain of one or gain of two, and you're doing that all night, you're going to get run out of the ballpark because that their pass rush and their pass defense is like I say, it's one of the best that you're going to play this.
Goal's got to be third and short or avoid third down.
You got to find a way to get this thing. It's got to be second. It's got to be second and fives.
How do you like the run defense?
The run defense, I think, like to me, where people have had success against them is on a little bit on the outsides. teams have tried to kind of run the ball, and that's been somewhat of where teams have had some success.
Ooh.
But let's see if Dallas can do that. All of Dallas's runs come from the inside.
It's back to the old outside run talking point.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. It's a Mavs game night, Chief.
Yes, let's go around the rim featuring those Mavs and the three-headed monster of dominance, the King, the Joker, and the Alien.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.